And welcome in to the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Joe Rex Road live from San Antonio in preparation of the Natty coming up tonight. Rex Road, how we doing? How's the state of Texas? What's going on?
Yeah, doing okay. I guess you can see not a great placement of the desk here in my room at the La Quinta Riverwalk in San Antonio. So you have to like look at like my bed right behind me and stuff. But it's good. We got a Denny's in the parking lot.
Sweet.
It was 93 when I got here. And then yesterday, I think it was like 60, but the winds were like 50 miles an hour. So it felt like 40. So I'm like, dude, this is not cool. So it has cooled off, but yeah, Texas is good and should be a good one tonight. Crazy game Saturday night.
Yeah, well, let's start there. So Houston makes the comeback. It beats Duke when it looked like Duke had everything under control. It's on the TV screen in front of me right now. Just a wild comeback there. A lot of people yelling about the missed call on Cooper Flagg on Saturday as well. So, Joe, I'll just start with you, who was there. What did you make of what we saw in that game, the collapse by Duke / the comeback by Houston to advance to the national title game?
Yeah, like it's just one of those games where at no point did I think Houston was going to win the game. Like at no point, you know. It was like, hey, they're good, they're tough, and they're doing, you know, they're hanging in there. I mean, they got down 14, and credit to them. They made it respectable, and they're right there to the end, and just not quite good enough. I mean, Duke is just too freaking good. And for the way that game ended, I mean, there just aren't that many games like that that actually go the other way. And especially, you're in a national semifinal, I mean, it's worth remembering that, as much as we talk about Duke as this like historically good team, with their numbers and everything, like second best KenPom team ever, Houston is the sixth best, so it's worth keeping in mind. But the difference is Duke has all these, they have Cooper Flagg and all these other guys who are going in the NBA, and Houston really doesn't have, I think they have a couple guys who can possibly play in the NBA, but it's just that's where you look at the difference and you're like, this is a bunch of pros, and usually the bunch of pros wins it. So it was a stunner. I mean, like, everybody was shocked, I think, in the whole building. Like,
yeah,
obviously the Duke people were just shocked, but like Houston and just everybody there was also like, what the heck just happened? So, and then, Florida on the other side flips that game. And it looked to me for a lot of that, not like Auburn was going to, Auburn, Duke, Broom, Flag. And then all of a sudden, boom, both of them are done a game short of taking it all the way to the end. Pretty shocking.
It was interesting. I saw somebody put out, I can't remember if it was ESPN or Yahoo or where it was, but there was a video out of like the win probability, and they attached it to just the last minute of Houston and Duke. And at one point, Duke's win probability was like 91-7 or something crazy like that. And then you make a couple plays, and it just immediately switches. It was amazing how that all came apart there. So, let's bring up the call there. So Cooper Flagg gets called for a foul going over the back there, and a lot of Duke fans very upset about it. A lot of people in general very upset about it. What did you make of that call on Cooper Flagg and its impact on what we saw for Houston?
Yeah, like when I saw it like happen, it looked right to me. Like I was just like, it's one of those things like, oh my gosh. But I mean, it did look like he got him, Then you look at the replay and it wasn't much at all. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, could you argue that there was enough, because he kind of hooked his arm in there real quickly? Could you argue that there was enough there that technically you could say it was the correct, like when they grade the film, will they call that an incorrect call? I don't know, but I hate the call. I mean, I hate the call at that point, and I understand the whole idea. We've talked about this before. It's like, a foul's a foul, and you're not supposed to like officiate differently at the end of a game necessarily, but it's like if Cooper Flagg ends up with the rebound on that play, then I think then I think I'm okay with it. Because if it gives him the advantage to get the ball, then okay, well, look, there was a little bit too much contact. But like, that's, I guess I don't even know who would have actually gotten the rebound. If Robert's gonna get the rebound anyway, then like you just gave him the points to win the game, you
Right.
know? So yeah, I didn't like it. Was ticky tack, you know? And I mean, to me, that's one of those where like even in the first 10 minutes of the game or middle of the game, it's the same thing. I was like, gosh, that's a ticky tack call. So if it's a ticky tack call at any point in the game, then it's a ticky tack call. So I didn't like it. I mean, but people act, it's not like, it's not the Saints Rams call, you know, it's not that bad, but it was not great. Not
So,
great.
who we got? Florida and Houston. You got Florida, who most people believe was the best team heading into this based on the way they ended in the SEC tournament there. Florida has made it to this point. They get past Auburn on Saturday. And then there's Houston and Kelvin Sampson and that story. It's a great matchup on paper. What do you make of the national title game tonight between Florida and Houston?
Well, Florida has the best player in the tournament. You know, that's the thing. Those two, I mean, Cooper Flagg's right there too. I mean, he had a ridiculous, he was like 27, he filled the stat sheet, but Walter Clayton Jr. is the best player in this tournament. And I mean, again, the other night, it's just like Auburn's really not doing anything wrong, but it's probably being overdone now, the whole Steph Curry thing with him. And, you know, he's not Steph Curry and he's not going to be Steph Curry in the NBA, but there are similarities in just, it doesn't matter what you do or where he is on the floor. Oh, there goes, he just launched a shot. And you, even though your whole defense is designed to not let him take a shot, he took it and he just hit it too in your face, you know, from 26. I just, so I think Houston's better. And I think if Houston's defense can hold Duke to one basket in 10 and a half minutes, I think it can put the squeeze on Florida, you know, like, it's the best defense. We saw what they did to Tennessee. It's legitimately just an absolute monster of a defense. But when you have the best player, you know, he could still, they could do all the things they do, and he could take some of these shots that, you know, think about the shots that Tennessee had to settle for in that game against Houston. You know, for him, that might be, you know, that might be six threes that he hits in the first half. So I guess I would pick Houston, but he is the wild card, and he's on a run right now. I mean, the only person who's in this tournament ever scored 30 plus in both the Elite Eight and the Final Four was Larry Bird in 1979. So he's on an all-time tear, and if he has, he's going to have a night like that, I think, for them to win.
It's pretty good company on that front. We did see a national championship yesterday that was completely dominated with Gino Auriemma, Paige Bueckers, and the UConn women winning yet again, Joe. So that is national title number 12 for Gino Auriemma. They went 82-59 in a game that you looked around in the third quarter of that game, Joe, at one point, and UConn was up by darn near 30, and it was like, good Lord. And they are just out there rolling against South Carolina. So what a performance by them. And it ends up being a team that goes 37-3. And as a two seed, I think as the tournament went on, you clearly recognize as the best team in the field. What a performance by UConn. And Gino gets his 12th national title yesterday.
Yeah. Now he did have to wait 9 years.
He did.
So, I mean, which to me, I think was good for the sport. I mean, I think that the last decade of getting away from the boring UConn destroying everyone stuff has been great. You know, there's been a lot of things that have been great for women's basketball. Of course, Caitlin Clark, and we got other stars who are coming up, and you know, it's great momentum. But another thing is just like more parity and getting away from just the same old UConn stuff. So, I mean, I guess him having to wait 9 years, there's some comfort in that. But yeah, 12 is ridiculous. And they're just there. They're just flat out the best team. This South Carolina team, they just didn't have stars, you know? Like, they've got some young players who I think are going to be, but they just, like, a lot of depth, a lot of talent. Obviously, Dawn Staley is a great coach, but that's the difference. UConn stars are like playing like stars. So good for them. I mean, I think it's cool for Paige Bueckers to, you know, to get a championship. And I think she's obviously going to be another huge, you know, addition to the WNBA and the sport, now that she's back healthy and everything like that. But Tennessee, does have the they can now make the Tennessee beat the national champion this year.
You're darn right.
So there you go,
I'm
which is
glad
pretty
Geno got his
wild.
last one before Kim Caldwell goes on a run here.
Yeah,
A lot of work to do
well,
to catch up, but it only take 12 years.
it, I mean, she's got a chance. They got a good recruiting class coming. It's going to be pretty exciting moving forward to see what they do. Speaking of Tennessee, by the way, I don't know, did you see the, Jalen Carey
Oh, yeah.
from Vanderbilt to Tennessee? Yeah, and talking a little trash about Vandy. I need to find this, but our buddy Ryan Shumpert got him on the phone. Did you see this quote?
No.
Okay, all right. Well, so for people who don't know, Jalen Carey, who I thought would be back, and I think would have been good to be back for Vanderbilt, and they also lost Jason Edwards, by the way. So, it's kind of like another kind of having to not start over, but Mark Byington has got to get right. This is the difficulty of of program building is you can even if you figured out in the first year, which was he did an incredible job, you can. You can be right back to almost square one right away
Yep.
when you didn't necessarily have to be, or you didn't necessarily think you would be. But yes, here we go. This is Jalen Carey to Ryan Shumpert says, quote, "I'm a Vol now, man. I don't care about no black and gold. I bleed orange now, man. I don't care about what they've got to say." End quote. There you go.
Jeez.
The portal era. This I bleed whatever the color of the school that's paying me more this year. and I hate the last colors that I was wearing.
Well, we all know,
There you
Jacoby
go.
Gillespie now a big time Vol as well. He's always bled orange, and here he is, newest member of Tennessee, along with Jalen Carey.
Now, see with Gillespie, like that's a, like you know he grew up in Tennessee, went to football, so like that, that actually adds up. I mean, that's a huge get for Tennessee, and we'll see. They have more work to do. They have to go find that scorer again, like they have the last 2 years. Connect and then. Lanier, but getting Gillespie is a big deal for Rick Barnes. To me, that totally changes the math on what they could be next year.
We'll take your thoughts on college basketball from the weekend. We've got Florida and Houston in the national championship game tonight. The UConn women win yet again their 12th national title under Geno Auriemma. And as Joe mentioned, some movement on the portal front that has benefited to this point the Tennessee Volunteers. We'll see what more comes on that front. Also, an interesting move by the Titans and a high-level draft prospect this weekend as well that we'll get to. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Our NCAA men's basketball tournament updates presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by thenewcumberland.com, Twin Peaks, and Bet365. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Aaron on the text line says, we're getting a noise complaint from the La Quinta, room 206. Let's keep it down in there, Rex Road. Watch the noise level.
I mean, I'm trying to do my golf play-by-play voice right now,
Big week for
I
that.
mean,
Masters coming up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Rex
you know,
Road's very
because we
excited.
obviously, yeah, super. I'm so pumped. I mean, I'll watch, again, I'll watch the last few holes Sunday if it's close.
That's
So
good.
that's better than nothing. But yes, I will gradually uptick my volume. And once we get to me, once we get to 7 a.m., I think, I'm not going to be in here screaming and yelling, hopefully. I mean, I guess it's always possible, but
We'll
I think
see.
by 7, I can at least talk at a little bit more of a normal voice. But right now, I mean, this is better than like, when I had like do the show that one time, or like I guess there was one time in LA, one time in Seattle after Titans games, so it was 4 freaking
Oh,
a.m.
yeah.
And it's like the whole show, you have to just be like, okay, so anyway, Julio Jones, he's gonna have a great year, isn't he, after what he did yesterday at Seattle.
By the way, shout out to Julio Jones, Titans legend, for his decision to retire over the weekend. Think he's going in the hall as
Yeah.
a Titan, Joe?
It's funny because yeah, no. It's funny because when that happened, we had like at the Athletic sometimes things like that'll happen and they'll send you a Slack and be like, hey, we're doing something on this and like can you put in some analysis? So they asked, it was like our Falcons writer and me and someone else, you know, for like analysis. And mine was basically like, yeah, I mean, I'll do some analysis, but it will basically be, here's one of the biggest mistakes John Robinson made as GM. You know, so, well, congrats on your retirement, Julio. You were a huge, huge mistake here in
Total
Nashville.
Total bust here.
Yeah, yeah. But it's true, you know. But amazing career.
He did.
Great, great player. And, you know, he had a run there in Atlanta where, I mean, he was, you know, it was probably the debate was probably for a little bit Julio or Antonio Brown, right? And that was probably for a little period of time there.
Yeah, I mean, Julio did it for a long time. Like he was at a high level for a long time. So that level just happened
to
totally end when he came to the Titans. So stop me if you've seen that one before. Yeah. really amazing how that one goes. Speaking of the Titans, Joe, an interesting development over the weekend. Jim Wyatt put this out there first, and it's garnered the reaction ever since then. Said that, you know, after the pro day on Friday, the Titans were supposed to have a private workout with Sanders and Hunter, and that the parties agreed to cancel the private workout, and specifically to Shedeur Sanders. Here's what Jim Wyatt said. The Titans have seen 4 years of game film, scouted multiple games, and have now attended a pro day that they described as very impressive. So no private workout between the Titans and Shedeur Sanders. Joe, your thoughts on that development and what it means for the draft process here with the Titans saying, yeah, I don't think we need to see a private workout with Shedeur Sanders.
I'm glad that the pro day was very impressive. That's first one ever.
It's important to point that out.
So is Jim suggesting that this means anything other than their drafting Cam Ward?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean it's, I mean to me it's like, I would think that there's a good chance that this is on the Shedeur side. Like, do we need to waste our time here anymore with this guys? You know what I mean? I don't know if that's something that, like, if you're on Shedeur's side of things, if you would get into that idea. But I mean, if it's like, are you guys, if you're drafting Cam Ward, then let's just move on, you know? And the thing is, I guess the one thing about Shedeur and everything is, if the Titans are resolved on Ward, we have talked about the scenario where, oh my gosh, look at this offer that comes in late and this changes everything. And then what if it were for, like, from the Giants? And if you really like Shedeur, is he close enough that you would then take him and he would be your quarterback? Plus you add the picks. I mean, that'd be a pretty good scenario, better scenario than just taking Cam Ward at one. But I mean, to me, then I have to look at this, like, not only are they taking Cam Ward, but they view this as a gap that's big enough that they wouldn't take Sanders if they switched up in this draft. So why waste anybody's time?
Let me just say this. If the Tennessee Titans end up with Shedeur Sanders after all this, Joe, I will give them the ultimate tip of the hat. I mean, this is going to end up being like the most elaborate little misdirection that I think I've ever seen at the draft level for somebody that holds the number one overall pick. If they end up with Shedeur Sanders, this is an impressive, impressive smokescreen that they've thrown out there.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be pretty freaking amazing. When did this come down exactly?
I believe this was early Saturday or late Friday. I can't remember which one.
Yeah. Okay. So it was after all of our shows.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Because I was going to say, I'd be interested to know if Stilley still thinks that this is like what they want to do.
Yeah.
Is actually get Shedeur. Yes. I love that.
We don't want to see any more of him. We're going to draft him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I'd love to think that's true. I'd love to see a curveball here. I would take him over Cam Ward. So, you know, that's just me. But yeah, I think this is pretty clear. Like, it's just, they're just drafting Cam Ward, and we're just going to sit here for a couple weeks and they're just drafting Cam Ward. Okay, everybody. So get excited about Cam Ward because he's going to be your quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to get anywhere else other than that. We've left the door open for a trade possibility. We're going to get into, I think, a really interesting tidbit that came out over the weekend about a potential trade for the Titans here in just a few minutes, which I read and I was like, huh, Well, that kind of tells you something. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes. But, I mean, right now, I mean, it looks like a foregone conclusion that Cam Ward is going to be the guy. And if you're a Titans fan, get ready. We're going to find out one way or the other if they finally found the quarterback of the future that they've been looking for a while. I bring that up, Joe. There was an interesting piece at The Athletic from Jeff Howe that put it out there. And there was one comment in particular that he brought up that if you're a Titans fan wondering whether or not they're going to trade out, I think this will make you raise your eyebrows a little bit. We'll get into this coming up next. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, the decision to not have a private workout with Shedeur Sanders coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will have Diana Russini from The Athletic later in the program. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8:30. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on Shedeur Sanders, the Titans, and the draft process here. Titans cancel a private workout with Sanders over the weekend. So, Joe, I was reading up on this because I think one of the stories of the draft is going to be where exactly is Shedeur Sanders going to go and how far does he fall? Does he go 2 to Cleveland? Like, is that going to be what it is at the end of the day? Is it 3 to the Giants? Does he fall down to the Saints? Does he fall down below that? We're going to get to, here in just a few minutes, the rankings that The Athletic has come out with the consensus big board. And you're not going to find Shedeur Sanders near the top of that big board, just a spoiler alert for you. So we'll get into that a little bit later here in the program. But I read a piece that Jeff Howe came out with live from Boulder, Colorado, right after the pro day for Shedeur Sanders. And it talks about kind of that being the interesting story here in the draft of where exactly is Shedeur Sanders going to go and the evaluation of the Browns, the evaluation of the Giants. And it's interesting. It gets to the Titans here. And I'll just read part of what Howe said here. It says, quote, "Of course, the Titans could still move the top pick, but that doesn't sound likely at the moment, especially after they declined to get involved with top free agents Sam Darnold and Aaron Rodgers, according to league sources. The Browns and the Giants have inquired about the Titans' interest in trading down, according to league sources, but the Titans haven't even determined the level of compensation they'd require to consider such a move." That was what Jeff Howell put in there, Joe. Have not even determined the level of compensation that they would require to consider moving. I thought that was really interesting, Joe. Like, it's one thing to have not determined the level of compensation to move out of a pick when it's like, you know, right after the combine in March. It's April the 7th. Like, the draft is in a couple of weeks here. So I realize we talked last week, Joe, about, you know, being disciplined and taking an approach of due diligence. And technically there is still some time here if you're the Titans and you're interested in trading out. But, Joe, that's just another log on the fire to me of, like, when you're factoring all this together, the lack of moves that they made on the veteran free agent front, the canceling of the workout with Shedeur Sanders, and then you've got Jeff Howe putting it out there that the Titans haven't even determined what they'd be asking for to consider a move to trade back. I mean, it all just continues to add up to Cam Ward's going to be their guy at number one overall. I found that to be very interesting.
Yeah, it's hard to conclude anything else. I mean, I guess they could say to that, this is part of what we've been talking about, which is the disciplined approach, which is go through the process, and then at some point we're going to get together. Okay, let's say it out loud. Who do we like? And then, okay, now I guess we can, now that we've gotten there, okay, now we can be more specific with teams who are calling. I'm just spitballing here. Like, you know, is that what it is? Again, I think we keep trying to find different things other than just, yeah, they've just decided, like, they've been all in on Cam Ward for a while. I mean, the actions and that is, I think, a very interesting nugget from Jeff. The actions all kind of add up to that. I just, like, I'm Again, I guess I haven't heard anything quite like this. I'm not saying this is like some kind of like radical way of going about things, but like if teams call you a couple weeks ago, I mean, how many times has Mike Borgonzi been like hanging out with Joe Shane, here and there at different things? Every time they talk, Borgonzi's like, "Yeah, I still have no idea what we would take." Okay, I don't know. Obviously, I just assume all those conversations would always have like, okay, yeah, all right, how about a second next year? How about if I throw that in there? Yeah, still not quite there. Every single conversation is just like, I don't know. Thank you for telling me that information, but I don't have an answer back for you. It's very interesting. But yeah, you keep circling around, we keep circling around just what looks very obvious, which is just they're just taking Cam Ward.
Well, we mentioned the timing of some moves to move out of number one, like going back to the Chicago and Carolina deal that happened, I think, in early March when that move was made. Doesn't have to be that way, but it does kind of feel like when you're making a big move to move up to number one, that rarely happens like on draft day. Like it's just very, very odd that they would happen that way. Now, I do go back to the Titans trading with the Rams in 2016, which happened on April the 14th. So it was later in the process than what we are right now. It was still before the draft and still, you had some time if you're both the Rams and the Titans, because that's the other thing here. Like with the Titans are trading back, they probably want to know exactly where they're trading back to, Joe, so they give themselves some options as to how they're going to play it when the draft actually comes. So I think if we get to draft day and there's not a trade back, I'd be stunned if there was a trade back at that point. But just timing wise, it feels like if teams are moving up to number one, that usually happens significantly in advance of the draft, and it just doesn't seem like it's going that way. I mean, if it's going that way, like I understand trying to be disciplined, right? And taking the disciplined approach, and that's clearly been a talking point from Brinker and Borgonzi, and that's the way they're trying to do things, which largely I think is good. Like I think if you can be as detailed and disciplined as possible in this draft, that's great. But like if you haven't even determined what you'd really be listening to yet on the draft compensation front, that to me kind of tells me where you're leaning. And at this point, based on that information, I would be stunned if they trade out.
Yeah, I can't. I still would like. I hope at some point they're like, okay, here's what it would take, and even if it's like some absurd, answer, just so the other team on the other end can be like, okay, thank you, finally give me a freaking answer, man. So maybe they'll get to that part of the process, but yeah, it just seems pretty clear. Yeah, Skyler's like, what? Y'all think the Titans are making Cam Ward? We had no idea.
A true
Yeah, well,
stunner.
look, I'm, I mean, I have been different points during this process. Again, I would say we were pretty sure they weren't a month ago, right?
Probably around there,
So,
yeah.
yeah, so I mean it had things have changed on the outside. On the outside, again, trying to read tea leaves and read into comments, and obviously we're reading into actions. But yeah, as we continue to advance, it's like, yeah, I don't know if there's much more to say in terms of on the whole trade thing or whatever. I mean, it'd be fascinating. Well, look, we're gonna have Diana on later. And she said last week that, there are at least some people inside who have preferred or have pushed for whatever, however you want to phrase it. I don't remember exactly how she phrased it, but for trading down. So that's very interesting. And it makes sense. But again, the actions, what they've actually done, all say Cam.
It was interesting. Like we bring up the headline for what the Titans did over the weekend of canceling the workout. The private workout is going to be with Shadur. It also means though they canceled one with Hunter too. So you do have Travis Hunter that is, I think, pretty universally viewed as at worst maybe the second best player in the draft, depending on how you view Abdul Carter and the injuries and all that. And they did cancel the workout with him. So I found that to be pretty interesting too. Of it's not just Shedeur Sanders that they didn't do a private workout with. You can cross, I guess, Travis Hunter off the list too.
Yeah, so with Travis Hunter, I would say mean, I guess you could say the same thing like Jimmy Wyatt said with on the Sanders thing. I would say that doesn't stop you from drafting him, right? I mean, you know what he is as a player. But yeah, it's almost like when you do that, it isn't it kind of like, you know what? Like really, like we don't want to waste your time because we know what we're doing, right?
Did you see the
Yeah.
one route that Travis Hunter ran at the pro day, where it was like a 5 yard in cut, and he ran like the most ridiculous route ever of just he was just bouncing around. I'll have to send you the video. It's gotten a
No,
lot of
so yeah, send me
reaction.
the video.
It's pretty funny. It's like a route that you would never, under any circumstance, run in a football game that would actually accomplish anything. But it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I have the whole film of the pro day. I was going to go through it today. But yes, if you could send me that might expedite the process. And then I could just spend 1 second watching the Colorado pro
Well, you're going to do a whole breakdown later today.
day. No, I mean, hey, I still say that's the move. I'm still holding out the hope that the Titans just go up there and just say, Travis Hunter, thank you. And that's that, but probably not going to happen. So also in this Howell piece, I mean, it sounds like, that it could be Hunter and then Carter, two, three. And then, of course, if that is the case, what kind of a potential fall are we talking about with Shedeur Sanders? It could be a big one.
Could be. And speaking of that, the Athletic has come out with their consensus big board. So it's taking information from a lot of different NFL draft experts and kind of putting them in one board here. And some of where players rank in that, to me, is very interesting. And if NFL teams view it the same way, it could be a very interesting draft coming up in terms of some of the players we've talked about. We'll get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Is our phone number 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. We'll have Diana Russini from The Athletic coming up at 8 o'clock on the program today. Russini at 8, Corey Curtis at 8:30. A lot of high-level football talk coming your way. Taking your thoughts on the Titans in the NFL draft, 615-737-1025. Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill. Jared, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Good morning. what a crazy weekend with the weather, guys. Hope everything's all right.
Same to you.
And everybody else. But decisions and scenarios like this are what got me leading or just not have a lot of confidence in the Titans' decision-making because – Again, it was reported, last week or a couple of weeks ago that Bricker was not going to go to Colorado. Then he rushed out there, and then did the word get out? Is that what you think happened, that Shedeur knew that or found out some way while they were there that they were taking Cam Ward, and that's why they canceled it? Or do you really just think that they're like, yeah, let me get one more look at his pro day throwing, no nobody, oh, yeah, we're okay. And then they just decided to wrap up because this is what infuriates me. I just want your all thoughts and opinions on it. But not a lot of confidence in our brass. Tighten up.
Thanks for the call, Jared. I love the tighten up at the end of that. Joe, your thoughts on the messaging there from the Titans and Shedeur Sanders?
I love the sort of like sad tighten up, the lesson and through the tighten
Tighten
up.
up.
Tighten up, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I definitely don't think it was like they went to Pro Day and they were like, oh, okay, yeah, that's it. What my understanding is, what he had five incompletions, three of them were drops. I did see the one deep ball he threw, which I thought was a pretty good. I saw one of the deep ball. I don't know how many he threw, but I thought it was a pretty good showcase of a, he has a legitimate NFL quarterback arm. He doesn't have the crazy arm, but yeah, I don't think it's that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe this was just the plan, was like to go out there, do the, do the due diligence. You've gone through this process, you've had him into your building, you've done all these things. You now, whether you say it to each other or not, you certainly aren't saying it publicly, but you're taking Cam Ward. And so you're like, okay, at this point, we don't need to go any further than this. I guess that's I guess that's how I would assume it went, but I don't know.
So Austin Mock of The Athletic came out with the consensus big board over the weekend, which basically combines a bunch of different NFL draft experts and puts them all on a board here from consensus view to show where these players rank. So you're not going to be surprised. Like, Abdul Carter's number one. Travis Hunter is number two. When you look at the consensus boards around the league, Joe, and from different outlets, you'll be hard-pressed to find anybody other than those two in number one, number two. Now, some people have Hunter number one and Carter number two. Some people have Carter number one, Hunter number two. It's just it depends on kind of what you're looking at there. You know, Ashton Jeanty's moved up to number three, who seems to be about as good of a running back prospect as you can get out there. So
absolute freak. Someone is gonna be really happy they got him, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you got guys like Tyler Warren, who, by the way, speaking of people canceling workouts, there are some teams around the league, Joe, that were like, yeah, we don't really need to see Tyler Warren work out. Like, there's nothing wrong with him. I think he's a blue chip prospect, so we'll see what that looks like. It's interesting to look at where these quarterbacks rank when you get through the consensus board here. The Ward part of this hasn't really changed all that much. Like, he has been, depending on where you look, somewhere around 9, 10, 12, 14, like kind of basically in that area since basically the beginning of the draft process here. And if you look at the consensus board at The Athletic, he's at number 12. So they got Cam Ward at number 12. I think in the previous ranking that they had for him, he was number 13. So he's moved up a spot. You go down, and I was looking. I was like, all right, cool. So Ward's at number 12. Where is Shedeur Sanders? And I kept looking, and you get to the 20s, and you're like, well, I don't see him yet. You get to the late 20s, it's like, man, I still don't see Shedeur Sanders. He's number 32. So 32 on the consensus big board ranking is Shedeur Sanders. He was at 33 previously, so he has been right around there on at least the Athletic's consensus board here. They've got Jackson Dart, by the way, at 53 for reference there. So those were the top three quarterbacks rank on the consensus board. 12 for Ward, 32 for Sanders, and 53 for Jackson Dart, which gets back into the conversation, Joe, that a lot of Titans fans have pointed out, and I think rightly so. It's like, man, are we really, with the number one overall pick, potentially taking a quarterback who is viewed as maybe like the 15th or 13th best player in the draft?
Yeah, and this also goes along with what Charles has been telling us, which is, you know, the gap. You have the gap from between Ward and Sanders, which according to this is 20 spots, and then you have another 21 spots between Sanders and Jackson Dart. But yeah, I totally get it, you know. And so some Titans fans are excited about Ward, and again, I do agree. I mean, Corey has said this. We've talked about this. What the quarterback class is collectively doesn't really matter. It's just what your pick is.
Right.
And if your pick is great and works out, and if everybody else stinks or what, it doesn't matter. A bad quarterback class has limitations on what it really means, you know. But Ward in particular, again, you are about to take a guy number one who is a consensus, you know, not top 10 prospect overall in the draft. So, I mean, you know, it goes along. It's just what it is. He is not one of those guys as a prospect that you get excited about and everybody knows what's going on at the very top of the draft. It has gotten to this. Doesn't mean it won't work out. Doesn't mean he won't be great, but it's just, you know, he's just not, as a prospect, the same level of a lot of these guys who have gone one overall as a quarterback.
Oh, and by the way, we had a conversation with Kuharski on Friday about the idea of either a James Pierce or a Luther Burden falling down to 35 and being available for the Titans in the second round. And James Foster did a really nice piece at paulkuharski.com kind of breaking down that possibility. Pierce is 20 on the big board at The Athletic. Luther Burden is 23. So strictly from a value spot, Joe, if one of those two guys made it down to 35 and were available, obviously you've got some concerns with Pierce and the attitude and the character and all those things. Burden, if he's there at 35, you could be getting potentially some good value from a talent perspective if one of those two guys end up being there at 35?
Yeah, I think that just hammers home. It's just hard for me to believe that there isn't going to be a team that, I think for both of those guys, but before the first round ends, you know, that there won't be someone in that back end of the first round who would be like, oh yeah, you know, I just, you know, I, if either of them were to fall, I think that's easy to me. I mean, I'm a big Burden fan. I know that there's, you know, again, people get picked apart during this process, but I think he'd be, I think that'd be huge if he got to 35. And obviously we talked about Pierce is easily a, you know, middle first round talent. So I'd be surprised if it happens, but yeah, if for whatever reason, either of them did fall, I think that'd be it. And then you'd be like, are you in a spot where does someone trying to come up and get to that spot? You know, then how do you weigh being able to get a real value pick there versus being able to maybe move back and get more picks?
Yeah, by the way, on the Vol front, just speaking of that, like Dylan Sampson is 63rd on this list on the consensus board. So you're talking about a top 64 ranking for Dylan Sampson, which surprised me a little bit when I saw this. I mean, they got Scataboo at number 80 overall. So I did not expect to see Sampson that high on this list, but apparently he is.
He's going to be a good player in the league too. I mean, Sampson is going to help a team, but yeah, personally, I have a little bit of a, you know, Scataboo, man. Whoever gets Scataboo, I might become a fan. I might become a fan of that team instantly. Whoever drafts Scataboo,
6'1"
is out there puking and then just running over people.
A
right
mighty
away.
Team that will not yield.
Ooh, maybe the Lions. There you go.
Could go three backs with the Lions. Just never pass.
Yeah,
again.
Why not?
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Had a conversation with Kuharski on Friday about something that I think really surprised some Titans fans, and I want to get Joe's thoughts on it coming up next. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.